Right. Good morning, church. It is really, really good to be in the house of the Lord. I was blessed to participate in a baptism last evening. We were able to witness Carson Fletcher being baptized last night. It was just a wonderful experience. We went down to the river down by Martinsburg, and it was just pretty cool. So I love when to see a new convert, to see someone come to the Lord and want to be baptized, and it's just, I don't know, there's just something that I love about that. That's why we're here. I mean, it's why God placed each one of us here on the earth, is to reconcile the world to Him. We are His ambassadors. We're witnesses of His. And we're going to be looking at some scripture in Ephesians today. I've titled our lesson today, Living for Him. And this is, Ephesians is just a really good chapter of just showing us how to live, how to walk with Him, how to care for one another, and so on. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for our time together this morning. I thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You, Father, that You care about us, that You want what's best for us, and Father, that you want our obedience, that You want us to walk with You wholeheartedly. Father, I lift up our new converts, Father, to You. I ask, Father, for Your blessings for them. Father, that You'll prepare the way ahead of them. Father, that You'll make their path straight. Remove the rocks and the briars, Father. Hallelujah. Satan, we just take authority over You. You have no hold on them anymore. So You just leave them alone. Father, I thank You that You've chosen us. Father, that You've made a way for us where, for many of us, it looked like there was no way. Father, You made a way, and I thank You for that. Thank You for Your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen. As I'm getting started here this morning, I'm actually going to leave a little time for you. If you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, is where we'll be starting today. But I would like to, it talks here about sharing our faith and how we came to know Christ. And I would like to have some of you share with the body how your conversion experience happened. What happened in your life that made you realize, I need a life with Christ. I need to be walking with Him. Most of you have heard my testimony. I've not heard hardly any of yours. So I would like to have that opportunity today to hear some of your experiences of how you maybe were led by your father or mother, or by a teacher, by someone who was sharing Christ with you, or maybe you just spent time in the Word. As a Gideon, I hear a lot of reports of people who just had a copy of God's Word and read that and came to know Christ through His Word. So I want to hear your experiences this morning. I'm going to allow some time for that. So be ready to come and share those. I would like you to use the mic so that everyone can hear. So just be ready to come when I give you that opportunity. We're going to read some verses here, and then I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. Ephesians 4, we're going to begin in verse 17. As I said, there's a lot of good stuff here in Ephesians, and I'm not going to read it all, so you can take time to read the rest of the book this afternoon or in your daily devotions this time or during this week, because Ephesians is not a long chapter. You'll be able to cover it this week if you just take one chapter a day. I think there's only six out 6 chapters in Ephesians, so it's a lot of good stuff. Verse 17 begins, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." As I was reading that, I thought, you know, we can't any longer live in sin. To repent means that you turn around and walk the opposite way. You don't do the same things you did before. I remember the day that I repented and began to walk with the Lord. And you think differently after that. You, like Stan said, he was ready to go back the other way because it got so hard. The enemy started attacking him, and he does. He wants you to stay with him. He doesn't want you to walk with the Lord. It's sometimes that first week, that second week, it's hard. It's a hard week. And that's why we need brothers and sisters to lift us up, share our lives with us, to take us through a rough patch. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That kind of sounds like the way we walked, wasn't it? Sounds like the way we were. We lived in sin and we were looking for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. And that's the verse that made me realize, you know, we're all of our experiences are different. Mine's different than yours. Yours is different than the person you're sitting next to. Mine's even different than my wife's. Came from totally different backgrounds. And the saying that opposites attract truly fits us because we're total opposites. I sometimes wonder how in the world we've made it for 44 years, 46 years. We've been together about 50 years now since we started actually in high school together. Didn't start dating till our senior year, but that'll be 50 years next year. So we're all different, and we all have a different way, a different story about how we came to know Jesus Christ. So, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. So we become a new person. And that's what it signifies when you're buried in the water and come up out of the water a new person. You're burying the old man. Get rid of the old natural man and you become a new spiritual man or woman. And thank God that he has chosen us, that he wants us to be his children. He adopted us into his family and he calls us friends, and that is awesome. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. So we have to watch what we say as children of light. Our mouths will get us in trouble, won't they? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So these 16 verses here are just telling us how to live as children of light, as followers of Jesus Christ, as sons of God. Just a small portion here telling us how to live. And so I'm going to leave time now. Somebody come and share with the rest of us. How did you come to know God? Know Christ? Also, if you have something that God has blessed you in, I would love to hear that as well. So both kinds of testimonies are fine today. If you have something that way as well, why, come and share it. Who wants to be first? You may just come and share how you came to know Christ. Figured everybody would run up at once, and I don't see anybody coming. Somebody come and share, Matt. Thank you.
So, for me, I grew up in a Baptist church, Friendzine Baptist Church, over off of 42. At the time, that church was thriving, and I grew up, grandfather was a deacon, grandfather was a trustee, dad was a trustee, dad was a deacon. But pretty early, I was 5 or 6, we got a new pastor, and his name was Craig McMahon, and he was the type of guy that, he was magnetic, and Dwayne, I don't remember, do you remember him? He was from southern Ohio, Kentucky, and his wife, Jennifer, was a backwoods Kentucky gal. And he played Division I football at the University of Butler, and then went on to seminary. And he touched me pretty early because, you know, he was who I wanted to be. You know, I was big into sports, but I also learned that God could work through you. Now, unfortunately, that wasn't where my official walk began. Back in those days, let's say that, look at history, I'm older than dirt, but back then, we never talked at home about baptism. We never talked at home about a lot of things we never talked about that I talk about with my kids, and that's not a slam on my parents, because they were good Christian parents, but we just never talked about that stuff. And later in life, I found out that my mom and dad said, we didn't want to pressure you into that. We wanted that to be your decision, and I understand that. But thankfully, there was, and you're going to find it ironic, that I have 3 girls, and there are 3 women in that church that really touched me. They're my Sunday school teachers. One was my grandmother. One was Frida Higgins. And one was Dorothy McCammon. And Dorothy, probably more than any, because she was a retired school teacher, she was probably in her late 80s when she was teaching me in Sunday school. And all 3 of those women really formed me and made me. And you know, and even as I got into junior high, and I still balked at the thought of going forward and making that commitment in front of the church. And a little bit about our church, it was divided into 2 rows, 2 sections of pews. And me and my brother and two or three other guys and girls from the youth group all sat about two rows, like right here in front of Burlton and Becky. So it wasn't like it was a huge leap of faith for us to take two steps forward to go forward. But I tell you, on the Sunday that I went forward, it seemed like it was 10 miles. But I don't remember making that walk because I was floating. And I knew at that point, I was 15 years old, it was in August, and I didn't get baptized for a month or so because we had to plan it and prep it and all that. But at that point, I still relate back to, I had those men role models, you know, the deacons, the trustees, my father, my grandfather, my uncles. But it was those three women that really touched my soul and my heart that gave me the knowledge and the understanding of what needed to happen. Because we had those conversations in Sunday school. So I guess that's where I came from. And then, you know, I've met my wife and had our three daughters, and we've raised those three as we've learned from shortcomings that I had growing up, that she had growing up, because her parents never talked to her about that stuff either. And we've really tried to over-communicate with our girls that, just because I think that's the way it should be done. I think it should be taught at home first, but the central basis comes out of the church. So that's why when your kids will get bored with me at Sunday school, because I teach just Bible. I won't teach a faith lesson. I'll teach just a Bible story. And that's, I truly believe that those Old Testament Bible stories taught by those three lit women molded me and shaped me and gave me the courage to take that leap of faith and start my relationship with Christ.
Who wants to be next? I know that all of you have had this experience, and you're all a little different. Thank you, Paul.
I grew up a lot the way Les did. We kind of have that thing in common back in the, as our Mennonite days. I still remember, I will say that I pinpoint it, and I don't know exactly how old I was. I was somewhere preteen or teen era. And actually, the funny part about this is, this conviction that I had was in your home church. Back then, I can remember, it was not unusual to have revival services for 2 weeks. And I think this time it was only 1 week. I don't remember. And I don't want to repeat the guy's name because I don't know I have it right for sure. But I think he was from the Hartville area. And this guy could talk about 900 mile an hour. And if you didn't have your seatbelt on and fastened, you was going to miss it. But something about him and some of the things that he talked about, I can remember at that age. And just to give you a little background, you know, the whole thing with, and I'm sure you experienced it, it was just an assumed thing that you get to that age about where, okay, it's time for you to enter a baptismal class, and, you know, you join the church and all that kind of thing. It was kind of a thing, I don't want to say it was forced on you, but it was just an assumed thing. And it was expected of you. And if you didn't do it, you were considered a rebel, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I remember this, and I don't even remember, and I know what you're talking about, Matt, when you said it felt like it was 20 miles to the front, even though you were in the front bench. I remember sitting back far ways, and I don't recall if I just raised my hand. I don't remember how the invitation was, but I definitely remember being under conviction big time. And that's when I decided that I need to follow God and I need to follow Him as He planned for me to follow Him. And then another time, I think I may have shared this here in my testimony earlier, when I was 11 years old, I believe it was, I had an experience that changed my life big time. And that made me more aware of the fact. I had a tractor accident on the farm there. I rolled one over on top of me. And I lived to tell it. And that experience I can't take away. And it just made me realize that God wasn't finished with me yet. And I remember going with my dad out to Indiana to a tractor parts place. And I heard of an incident that a guy, I don't know if he was my age or not, had rolled a tractor that was quite a bit smaller than the one I rolled, and it killed him instantly. And that spoke to me loudly. We are not promised tomorrow. And I'm glad I made that decision. Yeah, have I fell away different times and had to come back to Jesus moments? Yes, I have, many of them. And I, you know, it's unfortunately, we have a sinful nature, and therefore we have to continually ask God daily to be with us and to cleanse us and to be with, guide us in our lives.
Hallelujah. Who's next? Like I said, we definitely came to know the Lord in a different way. When I was a senior in high school, it seemed like I had everything going for me, but there was something missing. I just knew that there was something more that I should be experiencing. And I had a trigonometry teacher who counseled some of the kids. She was a Christian lady. And one night I was just really struggling with this when I was at home. It was probably midnight. But I called her, and she came to the house, and she led me to the Lord that night and let me know that, you know, no matter what I thought I had going, there was more. And then Les's mom was the most instrumental, though, in the whole process for me, because she got me a living Bible, because I, you know, I didn't have a Christian background. My dad was very strict with us girls, but he raised us as a do as I say, not as I do mentality, and I never resented him for that, though. I just always thought he just wanted something better for me than what he had. But Les's mom would work with me, like on Sunday afternoons, I'd go over to their house, and while they were milking, she would go over all the questions that I had come up with during the week about the Lord. And, you know, she never judged me or, you know, tried to change me. She even got me one of the little white coverings that the Mennonites wear, and you know, I had the mini skirts, the platform shoes, and my little white covering. And that's how I went to church. But she never said anything about it. But, you know, eventually, you know, I began to see that maybe I'd want to dress a little bit different. But it was my doings, not anything that she said to me. So I'm just thankful for the people that the Lord's put in my path all these years to just keep encouraging me, and for Les's guidance and being the Christian husband and father that he's been for us.
Good morning, church. Most of you know bits. I'm going to sit down with you if that's all right. Most of you know bits of my past. So I'll paraphrase, because there's quite a bit. I grew up super, super poor. Your daddy either owned the farm or he worked on somebody else's farm. My daddy did not own the farm. Grew up in the middle of the country in a in a time when government cheese blocks, that you could make grilled cheese without bread. It was so hard. That was my childhood. If you didn't catch it or grow it, you wasn't eating it. A lot of class judgment, the in-town, the richer kids. So I grew up dirt poor. I actually had to build my first bicycle. Dad had a truck full of parts, and he came home. He said, "Son, I know you want a bike. I couldn't buy you a bike, but I know a guy." He gave me this whole truckload full of bicycle parts. He said, "Your bike's in there." Gave me a handful of tools, and sure enough, about 2 weeks later, I figured out how to build a bike. But that was kind of my growing up. I had one special influence, and that was my grandmother, Baldwin. I've talked about her many times. Had a belly like a beach ball. She would set her plate of food on it, and she'd giggle, and the food would just get to bouncing, and it would go everywhere. But what she gave with me was she exampled the glow of God every time I was in her presence. She always acknowledged me, my presence. She let me know that my words had value, that God loved me. And although she was not the person to quote out scripture by scripture, she was teaching me the Bible in her daily lessons and her daily metaphors. And now, as I've spoken several times, when I look back, I see the different lessons in the Bible that she taught me in my daily life. I had a follow-on to that. My mother at the time, when I grew up, for many, many years, my mother was a Wiccan. She believed in what was called white witchcraft, and for the protection and servitude to protect family. And she has since been saved. But what she did share with me was that she was willing to go to any length for my protection. And she was misguided. And she came to me and she told me, she said, "You know, I'm misguided. This white Wiccan thing, no. You need to go spend some more time with your grandmother." And she found herself. And so she was willing to sacrifice anything for me, even if it meant her taking some time away from my influence. And as time went on, I grew up Gulf War era, tearing down statues. Everybody remembers the tanks and the statue and Saddam Hussein. So in 1991, I went in the military. I went as a rescue person in the Air Force. I did crash rescue, hazardous rescue, just about anything you wanted to do. I was the guy. I would come get you. But I was living a rough life. I was working 24-hour shifts. I was drinking the 24 hours I was off. I was living that life. And so when I came home and I got out of the military, it led to the furtherance of that mentality. And even though my grandmother and my mother had planted those seeds of love in there, I was on the path of a prodigal. For lack of better words, I've heard it said that I was out building my testimony. And I kept letting myself believe that when all these things happened in my life, I was the one who was picking myself up. And I was not. And any of you who do not know me, I've met one person, and his name is Tenny. He's the only person I've ever met in my life who has had more medical procedures, more surgeries, and lost the ability to walk as many times as I have, and are still walking and praising God. I could tell you that I've been impaled with pole barn spikes. I've had double hernias. I've had both hips worked on. I've had my left ankle worked on. I have been praising God in the middle of the stage at the fairgrounds, and my legs just quit working and I fall down. But praise God, the doctors were wrong. God was right. During that time, an evangelist pastor, God bless him, Mr. Terry Ream, or Pastor Terry Ream, I was coming through one of them accidents shortly before I had came here, October 4th, 2005. The church had actually offered us the parsonage to live in because they know that we had been hurt, and that was the Bowersville, or the Methodist Church in Williamsport. And he came out, and I was standing at the back fence one day, actually crying in pain. And he came up, and I didn't even hear him approach, and he walked up. He said, "You know, let God pick you up. He's got a plan. He's ready for you to fulfill your purpose." And it was 9 hours later, kneeling in front of the altar, that those reassurances of God being in command, God being in control, that we can only, as sin humans, we could only do so much on our own. And so he brought me to that realization, and he walked me back as a prodigal son hand in hand. So if there's ever a reason that you wonder why this goofy guy can stay happy, I know that joy is mine to have, and it's mine to give away. So praise God, he's given it back.
So I've noticed in every situation that somebody was an influence in their lives. In all of our lives, someone influenced us to walk with God. And that's really, as I said earlier, why we're here. Make a difference in someone else's life. As part of living for God, as part of being who we are, it's sharing Christ with others and seeing them then walk with the Lord. It's a multiplication process where one produces another and then multiply. Then two produces four and four produces eight. Pretty soon you have a multitude. Disciple. That's what it's about, guys. This morning we're going to baptize two more people, Seth and Rick. Said they'd like to be baptized this morning, so we're going to do that. I don't want to run this a long time, but I've totally enjoyed hearing your testimonies this morning. And I know there's a lot more of you. Maybe some morning we'll take time to hear some more of them. I would like to finish up there in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So be imitators of God. That's what we're to do. And Seth or Rick, I'd like for you guys to come up. Please. I've got a prayer. There's a prayer here that actually Paul prayed for the Ephesians, but it's a prayer for the converts, and I would like to pray this over these two guys. So we're going to do that now. It begins, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So we're going to go ahead and have a baptism. While they're getting ready to baptize, I would like to come up and have another song. And we're going to have an invitation this morning. If any of you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'd like to do that and be baptized, well, I would love to have you come and do that this morning. Or if you have any other need at all in your life, and you'd like us to pray with you, well, we'd love to do that as well. So now's the time for that as well. Thank you.